please join me in a spirit of prayer? Dear God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So it occurs to me right now that if I were starting a rock band, Shouting Stones might be a good name. Who knows? I'm not starting a rock band. I'm not called to do that, and my musical talent is restricted to listening to music being played. However, that phrase, I tell you, if these were silent, the stones would shout out, is one of those phrases that we can all relate to, because we've heard phrases in the past about if these stones could speak, if these walls could speak. We've gone to places and we've felt some of the history present there. And I suspect I'm not just assuming that you've done this, right? You've been to places, whether here in the Upper Valley or elsewhere in the country, where you can sense the palpability of history. And here Jesus is telling us that if he had told the disciples to hush up, if he had listened to the Pharisees, there would have been blowback. Now, what was going on that day? Well, we've had different versions of this story of the entry into Jerusalem, and we often imagine there are palm fronds being waved around, and you might find those in other gospels. But here, people are laying down their cloaks. And that was a sign, a gesture of respect being paid to an authority figure. Now, I did not ask anybody to take off his or her coat. I wasn't going to take off my coat, for I love all of you. I don't want you walking on it. There's still something for us to think about there. What kind of respect are we going to show to an authority figure that we respect, that we admire when he or she comes into town, when we're in his or her presence? Living here in New Hampshire, I've had the opportunity to see different candidates for office in things like parades. And I remember the July 4th parade down in Amherst, New Hampshire, back in 2000. And there were, I'm probably getting those dates wrong, because I've been a couple of parades down in Amherst, but I think it was Memorial Day parades we went to, and I got to meet John McCain. And then later on, in another campaign, there were all sorts of candidates marching in the parade. And what impressed me was how good candidates were about running out and shaking hands with voters. They wanted to show their interest. Now, how deep it was, I don't know. And you don't see Jesus doing that. But Jesus, more than any candidate we have for political office, more than any leadership figure in our society, has a claim to kingship. Jesus is already the king when he comes into Jerusalem. And of course, we know that this story is going to have a really harsh ending, which will then be redeemed on Easter. But this is where I'm going to resort to my normal ministerial plea that you really should participate on Maundy Thursday and on Good Friday. You should be present to experience the loss and the suffering that Jesus endures. Because only if you have done that will you be prepared to truly celebrate the resurrection, which we will mark in a week's time. Now, I'm not going to tell people don't come to church on Easter Sunday if you're not going to come on Maundy Thursday or Good Friday. But I am going to tell you that you should come. That you really want to fully understand the meaning and impact of the stories that we are going to be sharing over the coming week. And they start with today. Now, one of the tensions that we face in the ministry is whether we're going to focus on the Liturgy of the Palms or the Liturgy of the Passion. And I found that in mainline congregations, people tend to like the Liturgy of the Palms. And I understand that. I like to sing the upbeat hymns. I like to celebrate. I like to rejoice. But there's something in the passion that we need to grab onto. And that we will be reading a liturgy of the passion at the end of the service. Because there are elements of that story and of Jesus' trial that should be very unsettling to us. Now, I'm sure that everybody here is a good person. And everybody here is convinced that they would do the right thing. So just imagine you're in that crowd of disciples. And you are cheering Jesus on. And you're saying, go team. And you're excited about it. And then imagine just a few days later, you are in that crowd that is assembled by Pontius Pilate and Sanhedrin, and you are one of those people who feels pressure to call out, crucify him, crucify him. Now, I would like to think that I would resist that temptation. But reality is, most of us would not have the strength to step back. And most of us, having cheered Jesus on, would be cheering on his execution a week later. We are all responsible for the crucifixion of Jesus and for the ills in our world today. We all have a role to play in healing the world, in rectifying the wrongs we see. We don't have the luxury of saying, oh, it's their responsibility. Oh, they should take care of me. Oh, I'm good. I don't need to deal with it. God has not put us in that kind of world. If we see something is wrong, we need to act. And we need to talk, and we need to convince, and we need to move forward. So on Palm Sunday, we have this opportunity to think about Jesus and his entry into Jerusalem. And one of the reasons we read the psalm at the beginning of worship, rather than doing a back and forth call and response, was that that was a psalm that pilgrims recited when they were going to Jerusalem. So that's your opportunity to imagine what it would have been like going to the Holy City. And the Passover was a huge deal in the calendar. And Jews from Jerusalem and from all Judea and all around the Roman world and places beyond would come back to Jerusalem for that holiday. And the city was alive and it was filled with excitement. And we know that when there's a crowd gathered, it's also a tinderbox. There's potential for things to go wrong, which they will. Now, we've seen this over the last few years about large crowds gathering and people being excited, and we may not have agreed with what they were excited about, but we can see how people are drawn along. And my hope and prayer is that we will be embraced and we will receive the Holy Spirit so we can resist temptation. Follow the path of darkness. One thing is clear to us from the Holy Week stories, and that is that darkness is real, and evil is real. And it's not just some character in a movie or some bad guy wearing some ridiculous costume. Evil is in people like us. And we have the ability to say no. Resist that. Everybody does. And that's what Scripture tells us, that God so loved us that he gave his only begotten Son. That God loved us, that he was willing to walk as one of us, to be one of us, to put up with us. You read the story about the disciples, and frankly, they can be a somewhat trying bunch. But they were people like you and me. And Jesus put up with them. And Jesus did more than put up with them. Jesus loved them. And then Jesus entrusted the future of the church to people like Peter. And I could give you a whole sermon about Peter and his strengths and his weaknesses. But Peter is a really good person for us to look to. To see how somebody can stumble, but then get up. Jesus never gave up on his disciples. Think about that. Jesus never gave up on his disciples. He's not going to give up on you either, nor will he give up on me. And that is one of the gifts that we should be thankful for today, Palm Sunday, and throughout this Holy Week, and on Easter, and throughout the year. So, let's join with the disciples and the crowds who said, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven." And you may recognize the latter part of that phrase. It's just like what the angel said when Jesus was born. Jesus came into the world. Jesus made his mark. And we know that because we are all here in the sanctuary today. Let's share the love of Jesus with one another and with the wider world. Would you please join me in a spirit of prayer? Holy and gracious God, we thank you for the life and the ministry of Jesus. We thank you for the stories of the Gospels and the Scripture. We thank you for all of the wonderful things you have done for humanity, in the past, the present, and in the future. In Jesus' name.